welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of May 5th through May 11th. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As most of you know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was in grade school, and since then I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B. I hope you guys are enjoying Taurus season so far and got a chance to celebrate the new moon yesterday. The time between now and the full flower moon on the 18th is a really good time to welcome in the lessons that the Hierophant has to show us this month. And, you know, while you're doing that, it's also important to make sure that you treat yourself a little, very Taurus style, you know, to kind of have that indulgence to celebrate your worthiness. This is an offering kind of to your high vibe self of saying like, yes, universe, I do deserve this. And this can be something you've been coveting, like a new handbag. That was my Taurus gift to myself because I personally think that the vessel that you carry your money and for me my tarot cards in should be something really beautiful that makes you feel abundant and makes you feel worthy. It doesn't have to be a Gucci bag. It could be a cute vintage messenger. And if you're not feeling, you know, a handbag or a wallet as your Taurus season prize, maybe it's like eyelash extensions or a dinner out at a place you've been dying to try that makes you feel like a goddess. I do a ritual on the new moon every month and share these as a witch in residence on a feature on thewonderlessgirls.com. So if you missed it, you can check it out. It's still on their site and it's still a really good time to work with this ritual all the way from now up until May 19th because we have that strong Taurus energy. This is the first full week, actually, of May's cards, and this means we're really welcoming that Hierophant energy, aka Oprah, in my deck. She guides us towards those oh-so-important aha moments, as she likes to call them, that they're not always comfortable, but they're always necessary to kind of give us that evolution that we're craving. We also have the Ten of Cups, which is the emotional abundance or happy family card. So remember, even if the Hierophant brings in some challenges this month, moving through those really results in that abundant, rainbow-tastic energy of Ten of Cups afterwards. If you want even more info on these cards for the month of May, you can go back to episode 42 of this podcast with the monthly overview. Now for the card of the week. Let's take a look. Judgment. All right, so in the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, this card is a little bit much for me anyway. In the Smith Rider Waite version, Judgment shows this naked man and women and children kind of popping out of their graves. It looks very like New Orleans or Parisian style, like these like really cool graves above ground, but they're like popping up with their arms in the air, trying to figure out how their Judgment Day is going to work out. And you have Archangel Gabriel, but just blowing his trumpet above, and he's kind of serving as a messenger to God in this scenario. And this card is really about a time that comes up that is about having to make important decisions. And it can be a spiritual awakening of sorts. It can be a time that, you know, you feel called to kind of look at your life in some way. But either way, it really reminds us to kind of take an inventory and look at what we've done up until this point. In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, this is Christina Aguilera, and I drew her sitting in her judge's chair on The Voice, and she's rocking her 2004 Dirty Chaps. Now, the thing about this image is Christina's already rocked those chaps, right? She's already learned those lessons. She's done the dirty thing. And Judgment asks us to look at our past, to really observe the lessons we've gone through, so we don't have to repeat them again. This card also reminds us that while we should look at our past, if you know we have important decisions to make this week, it's good to really take that stock, but it's equally important to really be gentle on ourselves in the process of saying like, okay, like it's not about beating yourself up for things you've already done. It's not about beating yourself up for what you may be facing. It's really kind of a gentle observance of what do I already know? What do I already have an awareness around and how can I use that to kind of make this experience just, you know, even better and make myself even more authentically aligned with where I'm headed. Astrologically, Judgment is ruled by Scorpio, and Scorpio is one of the most passionate and powerful signs in the zodiac. Scorpio's energy is why, unlike the Justice card, which is a little bit sharper and more intellectually based, Judgment is asking us to use both our intellect and our intuition. So really think about that if you have kind of a decision to make, if you're at some sort of a crossroads or really, you know, important time of evolution this week. I have a lot of friends and clients that have been coming to me for readings over the past couple days even that say that, you know, something, there's been a big shift, whether it's in a relationship, in a career, someone leaving their life, making space. And that really is, that's judgment time, right? Of how, what are we going to look at? How are we going to move forward? And what are we going to do? I don't want to say differently, but that's kind of just a more evolved version of ourselves than we would have done in the past. We're taking those lessons from the past that they occurred the way they did for a reason. And you can thank your past self for taking that for the team of like, oh girl, that was a rough time. I'm really glad that you ran that lap and I'm grateful we don't have to do it again. But it's really about kind of, okay, how can we now take that and evolve upon it as we go into this period coming up this week? So speaking of badass bitches with lots of Scorpio energy, Scorpio placements in their chart, we have a very special guest this week who I'm so excited to bring on the podcast, TJ Ziegler, tarot reader and millennial mystic of the Half-Ass Witch. Hey TJ, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here, well, virtually.
I'm so excited to talk to you too. I know that we've like spoken online before. I love your Instagram live. So I found you through Katie of Witch & Co, who I adore. Yeah. And she was sharing a lot of your posts, posting a lot about you. And I was like, oh my God, who is this bitch? I need to follow her. So then I really love how, you're obviously a really talented reader, but I really love how you use social media to kind of make it so accessible. You are the one who inspired me to format my Instagram live. So thank you for that. Yeah. Cause I had been doing the podcast for a while and like, obviously like utilizing social media, but I really love kind of the format you created and how approachable you make it. And I watched your Instagrams and obviously have participated in them and see how people kind of, are just, even if they're not asking questions, they really learn a lot from you. So a million questions. How did you first get started in tarot originally, and how did you kind of expand it into the platform that you now have?
So this is really crazy because I was raised like extremely Christian, like very conservative Christian. I came from an evangelical, like Pentecostal household. So very, very crazy. Yeah, I used to be like a Sunday school teacher. I was in like the worship team. My grandpa was my pastor. It was very...
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Hey, everything I was raised in, we're not doing that anymore. But when I was younger, my family was really into soap operas, which doesn't make any sense because it's those two things don't, they do, I promise. So they really watched a lot of soap operas. I had a great grandma who was Native American, she was Cherokee. And so she was kind of like, she didn't really care either way. You know, they care, like the Native people, they have their own spirituality, and then you have Christianity, so all of that kind of mixed in a little bit. So she was watching this this soap opera, and it was called Passions or something, and there's a card reader on it. There's like a witch, she was a card reader, and I remember the first time I watched that and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And of course it was like televised, it was like a TV rendition, like dramatic rendition of a card reader, so it was like the death card and she was like, you're gonna die, which obviously isn't true. But that was my first exposure, and I remember seeing it, and something just clicked, and I was like, I feel like I could do this, or I want to learn how to do this, or how I want to learn about the people that do it. But it was shut down very early just because of my religious upbringing and just all of that kind of stuff. So when I went to college, I went to an art school, and I went away from home for college, and I was like at an Urban Outfitters or something, and I saw they had tarot decks, but they were mini decks. It was the little tiny ones. So I got one and I was like, you know what? My mom's not here. Fuck it. Like, I'm going to do this. And I did it for my roommate and I realized I was good at it. Like, it was weird because it was so spot on. Like, she freaked out about it and she was like, I'm not talking to you for like 3 days, even though we like lived together.
I love that.
But yeah, that's kind of where I started. And I was really into it and was like, okay, now I know I'm good at this. So I started doing actual studies about it and trying to build up my like repertoire of knowledge, that way it wasn't just like raw talent. And that kind of got me into like the world of witchcraft, but I think I found it on accident, like on Tumblr or something, and I was just like, wait, people do this still? I was like, what? There are witches in the world. People are doing crazy stuff. And so I got into it and I realized, you know, I just had like a natural, like latent talent. And here I am now, like 6 years later, just doing crazy things on the internet.
I love it so much. You are definitely like so incredibly talented, so highly intuitive, just because of getting to interact with you one-on-one, but also watching, like I said, your Instagram lives. For anyone who hasn't tuned in yet, I highly recommend it. Like, TJ is amazing, and you're amazing just to observe, because I've watched you work with tarot, with pendulums, and across all of your mediums. It's just insanely accurate, and people that are messaging you are crying. Like, I'm always like, oh my god, you're so talented. So I love it's so cool to see that. And I
can't, like, to me it's so insane, because I didn't grow up in an environment where these gifts were not only were they encouraged, like not encouraged, but they weren't even recognized. So it's kind of like how a painter, like if Picasso, all of a sudden, when he was like 40, I don't know, that's probably actually how Picasso like became Picasso, but like, I don't know things about art, even though
I should know this because my background's fashion, but I don't, I'm going to pretend to, but
I have no clue either. I literally went to an art institute and I'm like, art, what? But it's kind of like when someone has such a crazy good talent and then they realize it's so late in life and they're like, oh, I can do this. So when I get feedback from customers or people watching my lives and stuff like that, and they're like, oh my god, like you were spot on and whatever, sometimes I still scare myself.
Oh yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I can do this. Like, I'm not, like, because we know ourselves. People see me from the internet or whatever, and they think I'm like spooky all the time. And I'm just like, no, like most of the time I just sit in my pajamas and I watch Grey's Anatomy on a continuous loop. And I'm not that spooky all the time, but
witches, we're just like you.
We're normal humans.
We're just like us. Totally. Yeah. Well, it's so funny. I love that's your story. I've talked to so many readers and psychics who that it was kind of like just discovered by accident. I started reading like when I was 11, but it was just like a weird hobby. And then another one of the guests that I had on recently, I think 2 weeks ago, Zenobia, and she's been on America's Psychic Challenge, all these things. And she saw it on James Bond, saw a reader and just connected with it. And I think it's kind of like a thing. Like, I saw the deck in Barnes & Noble when I was like 11. And I was like, what is that? Like, no idea, but I think it's the thing you're drawn to. And yeah, so I love that was your trajectory and how kind of quickly you just really owned it and you're helping so many people. What advice would you give from somebody, especially because now I do love that it's more accessible. I think that like, you know, like years ago, it was kind of like an underground thing. And I think now because of people like you, people that are, you know, putting it out there, creating like forums and arenas on like Instagram, podcasts, et cetera, it's becoming more accessible. What do you recommend to people that are kind of starting learning how to read? Like, what advice would you give?
Well, definitely think that the first thing is don't take it too serious. That's such a huge part of my platform too, because that's why I picked the name The Half-Ass Witch. It wasn't because I like half-ass my work or whatever. I don't want people to think that I just like kind of throw cards on a table and I'm like, hey, whatever. I say that mostly because if the power is there, you know, if you have that ability, if you know that you can do things, then don't be so serious about it. Don't be so crazy and be like, I have to do things to the letter, to the T or whatever. I'm like, look, if you don't have dragon's blood incense, just like throw some regular incense in there. It's not that great. And it's very much like, I always say it's low effort, high impact. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people if they're doing anything related to magic, reading cards, if they're learning runes or if they're trying to cast spells or whatever, just like, do it and try your best. And I think everybody has to remember that there's a learning curve, right? Like, nobody just picks up something and just knows how to do it all the way 100%. You have to be gentle with yourself, give yourself a little bit of like slack and room for error, because I mean, like, everyone will read differently anyway. So I always also tell people that it's really good to use resources like me or people on Instagram or Tumblr or just websites or YouTube who do this kind of stuff. It's great to use them as a reference. And I love when people, but I don't ever want new readers or new witches or anything like that to look at someone like me or even like you or Katie or whatever and go like, I have to do it exactly the way they do it, because I had to find my own way of reading. Yes. And a lot of other people, like, I'm sure you have a completely different style, and that doesn't mean it's wrong. I tell everybody we're all like phones. We all have different software. And yeah. So whatever that software is, just you need to learn your software and just learn to work with it instead of like look at the book that comes with it and be like, I have to know what this means to like to the letter. I need to memorize this whole page of like an interpretation or whatever. Like, it's not that crazy. And I don't think that's what scares a lot of people, is they are like, oh my God, like I need to put in this many years before I can start even to like read myself. And it's like, no, it's not like that. You just gain the experience as you go.
Well, that's what I love about the way that you read and teach. And I'm some like very similar. That's why I created the deck that's all kind of like pop icon women, because it was a way to just make it accessible. And that's like how I see the world through like you, like Lisa Frank neons and like 90s pop. So I was like, okay, this is how I, you know, my lens. And if that makes it somewhat more accessible to people my age and younger, that was my goal. And I always tell people, similar to you, when I'm teaching small classes, it's not about like, there's, you know, here's a framework of what the cards mean. It's kind of like learning the basics so then you can break those rules. Because I think, and the way that you read, definitely, like, you can see how intuitive it is with you. And it's really about, like, I think it makes you hone in on your intuition so much more. I've noticed, I don't know if, so tarot was your first modality that you learned, right?
Yeah, it was the first thing that I actually put effort into learning. I know that as, like, a child and whenever I had the gift of, like, communicating with spirits, now I'm trying to, like, get the rust off those wheels.
Yeah, because
of thing that was just so dormant for such a long time. But that was the first thing I knew I could do. But tarot was the first thing I put real effort into studying and honing and like really perfecting the way that I do it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that once you, and it's interesting that you were saying that you kind of innately had the ability to communicate with the spirit world and then kind of shut it down. I had the similar, like I would have things come through in dreams when I was younger and I kind of just like numbed it. And then I was a big partier and drinker in my 20s and I was like, I don't want to deal with that. But and I feel like tarot like cracks your shit open, because then you become so reliant on your intuition, because that's what makes you a better reader, is just going with your intuition and not like learning the meanings by rote or by memory. And then that kind of allows you to channel and use it for other things and for other connections to energy. So I love that. So you teach classes too, right? You're like near San Diego?
So I'm actually in the middle. So I'm based in, it's an area called the Imperial Valley. It's very close to like the Mexico border and like Arizona and all of that. But I'm about 2 hours away from San Diego, and I have a lot of work in San Diego because before I professionally did cards, I was a social media analyst, and I worked with like Bumble and Uber and just like also little businesses like that. So that's why I prefer to do my stuff on social media, on Instagram, because that's where my wheelhouse is in terms of like marketing. Like that's the way my brain works.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you're very good at it. Like the way that you utilize it is, it's, I love it, and it's very personal and it's very accessible to everyone. So it's, I love it.
That was my real big goal, is just to be accessible, because what I noticed when I was looking, when I was on my own like journey, when I was looking up sources and whatever, like I'm not saying that reading the books and doing the real research with like actual scholars and that kind of thing isn't helpful. It is, but that's not where you want to dive in first. So yeah. Like good, but a lot of people are just like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do, so like now I need a guide, I need somebody or whatever. I noticed that it was people saying like, read these books, write a report on it, or really study, take notes, whatever. And then there was other people who were on YouTube and stuff like that were doing kind of what I do, but a lot less accessible. So it was stuff that required a ton of money, and it was very like aesthetic, and it was all like bones everywhere and like spooky on purpose. And I'm like, nobody does. That is a lie.
Well, that's what I love about your online, your Instagram lives and your content, is because it's like you have this very cool, authentic environment that does have a magic about it and that does have a mysticism. And I'm like, I want to be like hanging out with you in that room. Like you really create that ambiance. You do. Yeah.
That room, because that's not what it looks like. That's definitely not real. That's my thing too, is though even I try not to like spruce that space up too much, because I still want to stay approachable. And that's why I get a lot of flack actually from like more experienced witches or readers or whatever. And they're like, not that I'm making it a joke, but they're like, you take away from the seriousness of what you're doing and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, look, my audience isn't like the crones of like the world.
Yeah.
I know my audience and I know the vernacular I need to use and the way I need to address them and how to connect and have a conversation instead of like talking at someone, yeah, which I don't think is important. So I do actually, I get a lot of like crap for the way that I am accessible, but I think it's so important because there was none of that in the space that I work in. I mean, there was a little bit, but there wasn't people who, like, for example, like, I'll tell my clients, I'm like, get your shit together. Or like, there are some cards where, like, instead of explaining what the card means, I'll just say, like, this card is basically saying, thank you, next, so get rid of whoever it is that you're dealing with.
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and I think that's important because, like, now that's what people resonate with, and if it's, if that's how the point gets across, then the point gets across, and I think that's the most important thing, is that messages that need to be received are received.
Well, and I think that, like, being authentically, and I struggled with that, too, because I'm, like, the fucking, like, Elle Woods of tarot, where I'm this weird little, yeah, pop culture blonde from the fashion world, and a lot of the, like, yeah, very, like, woo-woo, like, super rule followers of the New York scene kind of are like, I don't know about her, she doesn't seem legit. But I think that when you do it in your authentic voice, there definitely just is an audience that's looking to hear it in that way. Like, and that's how I found you, was I was like, oh, you're speaking my language and thank you for existing, you know? So I think that that's like the best advice that you could give. The other thing I wanted to go into, because I like touched on that, is that you work with a couple of different intuitive tools. So tarot, obviously, I've also seen you do readings with pendulums. How do you decide, like, at any point what you're going to use? Is it based on the question or the client?
So it is based a little bit on the client, but mostly it's based on the question. So whenever I get questions that are just like yes or no questions, I tend to use a pendulum for that, because there are cards, like the cards can tell you yes or no, but then they have stuff around it. And so a lot of the times when people ask yes or no questions, it's basically just kind of like they want a very straight, blunt answer. And that's what I use for, that's what I use like a pendulum for. Mm-hmm. I also use pendulums when people want to communicate with spirits and stuff like that, because I feel like the pendulum you can use for a yes or no answer, but the way that I do it is the pendulum is almost like, for me, like an antenna. So I have noticed that whenever I have a pendulum in my hand and I'm doing spirit communication, I will get full sentences, visions, I will hear noises and whatever, and it's just easier for me to tap into that when I use the pendulum. When people are asking to have like specific conversations with like deity or spirit or whatever, I'll use a combination of pendulum and cards, just because the pendulum helps, but then the cards kind of give them the words, you know, that they want to say exactly how they put them together. And then for tarot, I basically just use tarot for like interpersonal communication. Like, so people asking about their relationships or like the people they work around or stuff like that.
Very cool. Very cool. So I ask everyone this, and readers are always my favorite because I feel like they have the most involved answers. But do you have a favorite tarot card in the deck? And if so, why?
Yes. Okay. So my favorite card, I have two. My very top one, and this has been like from the get-go since I started reading, I love the Queen of Wands. She is like my main bitch because, I'm a Sagittarius, so I'm a fire sign. And so that's very, I'm like, that's obvious. But also, the Queen of Wands is very, I don't know how to explain it. It's not that she's not a hard ass, you know, she's not a bitch or anything like that. She has a little bit, I feel, of all of the queens of, like, of every suit in her. She's the one that shows evolution. She is the most, I would say, intuitive. Mm-hmm. And for me, wands represent spirit. That represents, like, heart and, like, who you are as a human being. And I love her because she just puts out confidence. She's not like the Queen of Cups, who's like the sexiest, like most attractive person, but she's got that like personality thing where it's just like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's so funny because in my deck, it's like celebrities and iconic women. Like some of them are athletes. Some are like.
Who is the Queen of Wands? Is it Beyonce? Because same.
But like, so the card I made myself, because I drew it and it's my deck, is King of Wands. So that's really funny because I'm Sagittarius, Aries rising. So I was like, for that reason, I love the court cards and wands. And I was like, I'm going to make myself King of Wands because, like I said, because I can. And I'm very like fire, passion. Yes. Yeah. So amazing.
Okay. So who is your Queen of Wands then in that deck? Because I just want to know.
Oh, who's Queen of Wands? Okay. So it's, she's a fashion executive named Jackie Glickman, and she has very much that essence. She's a Leo, so she's a fire sign, and
love
she's
it.
Kind of like, yeah, created this like, you know, big kind of shift in fashion, the way that she works. She's very nurturing, but also, like you're saying, right, kind of a badass in like a very nurturing way. So mm-hmm. Yes,
like her too, because that is something that I've noticed about people. I'm very aware of my self-image just because of like social media has taught me that. Mm-hmm. And also like in my chart, I have Jupiter right in that first house, which is my Sagittarius. So I know my identity and I know how people see me. And I've noticed that a lot of people, there's two opinions. Either it's she's too opinionated, yes, she's too whatever. And then the yes, other one is, oh my God, she's so sweet, like nurturing, very whatever. So yes, I love that the Queen of Wands brings in that duality, even though she's not, like, people don't usually think of that. They just think of like the Queen of Wands as like the Queen of Wands, like the magic queen or whatever.
Yes.
But she has such a duality of evolution and in like, she can stand her ground and get her shit done. And then also she knows when to take a step back. Because the big thing about that Queen of Wands is like, the warning is don't burn yourself out. And I'm just like, hey, yeah, don't call me that.
Well, and I feel like with King of Wands, the warning is that you can be kind of overly excessive and decadent, which is very, very me, because I'm like double.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of like hedonistic. It can be indulgent and reckless. But like on the upside, it's all of like the good things about the wand suit, you know?
Yeah, so she's my first, and then the other card that I identify the most with is the death card, which is that Scorpio representative card, and I have Scorpio so much in my chart that I actually tell people, like, I'm a Sag, but I'm a Scorpio dominant, which is just, like, I have so much Scorpio in my chart that I'm basically a Scorpio at this point. So I love that, because I really do, some people don't like that whole, like, things coming to an end and then rebirth after that, like, that whole awful
yeah,
cycle of transmutation and all of that, but I thrive in that, which is probably mm-hmm, not the best thing, because yeah, my life is very tumultuous and whatever. But that card is so representative of like whenever things come to an end, whenever there is something that comes crashing down or whatever, don't focus on that. That is such a reminder for me to just focus on the opportunity that it creates for growth.
Yeah. I love that card, and that's what I advise clients very similarly when they get it, because everyone, if you're not familiar with tarot, everyone sees that in a reading and they're like, ah, like, and they have the freak out moment. So I always say that I love that card for exactly those reasons. And I also love Wheel of Fortune because it's like transformation and reinvention mm-hmm, and death and Wheel of Fortune to me. I'm like, I would rather be moving than in stagnation. So I love both.
I always tell that to people, and like everybody else that I know, they're just like, I like to be comfortable. I'm just like, we can't be bread.
I think that's like a Sag and Scorpio. I have Scorpio in my chart too. That's funny. So do you have a least favorite card that like you don't like getting when you pull it for yourself, or you get it in a reading?
You know what? Honestly, I do. That's an interesting question, because people don't usually ask that. And as a reader, you know, like you feel bad because like sometimes
you're supposed to have like them all. Yes.
Yeah, and then some cards will come out and I was like, ugh. And it's not for the person, it's just like, I hate this card or so on.
Yes, yes.
I really dislike the Two of Swords, mm-hmm, mostly. And it's not the Two of Swords specifically, but it's what I have to do whenever it comes up, because I always have to tell people, like, you know what decision you need to make, just fucking make the decision.
Yeah.
And people don't like to hear that. People don't like to hear that they're avoiding choosing something.
Right.
And so, I don't love that card. And also the Nine of Wands, I'm not a fan of, because that calls me out, because it's very much about like taking a break, resting, putting your boundaries up, and healing yourself, mm-hmm, which I help heal people as a job. So then when I come home, I'm like, I don't want to do this for myself. It's like if I was a barista, I wouldn't come home and be like, I feel like making a coffee. Like,
yeah,
I don't want
to
do this.
It's so much easier to help other people than to do it yourself. And it's so funny. I had that. I was just talking about that on one of my episodes of my podcast, of all the advice that I give clients. I had to like realize, like, I'm like having one of those moments and I'm not doing it myself. It's so true. It's like so much easier to help other people through it.
All the time. I'm like, you need to take more time for yourself. You work too much. And then I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm talking to myself now.
Amazing.
Cool.
Oh my God. Well, it has been incredible talking to you. We're almost at the end of the half hour for the episode, but before we go, do you have any other projects coming up, any classes that we should know about that I can tell people to direct them to?
You know what? Yes. Yeah, so not this month, but next month, I'm going to be doing like a basics tarot, but it'll be online. So it'll be like on Zoom, like a webinar kind of.
Oh, perfect.
So, yeah. So I am going to be doing that, because the area that I live in, it it would not work just because there wouldn't be that many people. And I know that my audience stretches out over like the entire United States. So I am doing that. I am in the middle of doing my own Oracle deck. So like people can watch out for that one. Yeah, it's really interesting. Because I know it's kind of like conceited, but it's because that business is all in my first house, so it's all about me.
No, I love it. I mean, me too, obviously. Yes.
Yeah. So it's gonna, it's basically based on kind of all the roles that I've played in people's lives and how that can translate into like everyone else. So I'm really excited about that. But other than that, I'm not doing a bunch of crazy stuff. I just am keeping my routine up of doing like the Tarot Tuesdays deals and then the Tarot Thursday live streams, and then other than that I'm kind of like good where I'm at, because
no, that's a ton. You're like, you just listed like 11
No, I know go to on like Fridays just to read, and it's just like I could not do any more unless I had an assistant, but like the way I spend money, like a fire sign,
oh yeah. Yeah, that's like, that's a fire of wands thing for sure. I'm just like, amazing. I hope that I get to meet you in person sometime soon. And I would love to collaborate with you, because I just, your energy is incredible and very infectious. And I love doing what you're doing. You're totally killing it. So for those of you, I know like a lot of my listeners already follow you. If you haven't already, go to @thehalfasswitch. And then your website, which also has a really awesome blog, is sorryforsharing.com, right?
Yes, ma'am. Although, like, I wouldn't push the blog because it's not like I, like, do anything with it.
Well, I have enjoyed it, but definitely check out the lives on Tuesday and Thursday. I always try to tune in because they're incredible. And thank you so much for talking with us today, TJ. I know you're super busy, even though you totally downplay it. I know that you are, so thank you so much for making time.
No, thank you for having me. I love doing interviews.
Love chatting with TJ today. She's incredible. And if you haven't already, check out her Instagram lives on Tuesday and Thursday. She's a pretty powerful witch. Before we head out, let's quickly go through the monthly recap. For May, we have Oprah, the Hierophant, reminding us that life is really our greatest teacher. If we use these opportunities, even the not so fun ones, to choose our lens and point of perspective, we can really shift our happiness level. And our other card for May, 10 of Cups, brings in emotional abundance and kind of a happily ever after to a specific area in our lives. This week we have Judgment, which reminds us, Christina Aguilera and her Dirty Chaps on the Voice style, to learn from past lessons so as not to repeat them, but also to really be gentle with ourselves and in the process, because we may be coming up on an important shift or decision this week. Just a quick heads up, I will not be able to do an Instagram live tonight, but I will be back every Sunday, Eastern time at 8 p.m., where you can get a chance to get your own mini reading free, and I do a weekly overview as well. I won't be here tonight because I do have a really cool event at the iconic artist community West Beth in the West Village from 6 to 9 p.m. It's an evening of tarot with Leslie Lowe and Susan Wands, two very powerful, amazing women, and I will be there. I'll have decks and candles for sale, so come by, check it out. You'll learn a lot about tarot, and it's going to be a really fun night. Also, May 18th, the full flower moon in Scorpio, I'll be at Mystic Journey in Venice Beach doing a Q&A and a deck signing. I'm so excited about that. And there's still, I think, a tiny bit of space left for the Rise Gathering Spring Retreat that I'm a featured reader from May 13th to June 2nd. And you can still get $100 off with the code CARDZ2019 at risegatherings.com. And as always, continue to follow at CardZB on Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com, because I post all of my updates, all of the upcoming events that I'm adding. So stay tuned. And as always, thank you guys so much for listening. Stay magical AF.